Hello and welcome along here to our next short programme about communication and assertiveness and self-esteem. I'm Angela Kearns and I'm joined in studio today by Molly Gowan, and this is the third part in this little series. So hello Molly, how are you?
Oh, hello Angela. Today now, we started off this series with, just to sum up for people who are catching us for the first time, we talked about the human aura, which you can't actually see but you can feel it, it's very subtle. And we moved on then to the idea of boundaries. And today we're going to talk about the rights of the individual. And we're going to look at body language. Now, I mean, I remember being in a state of shock when I first heard this thing about the rights of the individual and so on, which are basic human rights. Now, we know equality, liberty for one man, one vote. Everybody's entitled to their own views and opinions. Now, this is a really interesting statement here. I have the right to state my own needs and priorities as a person. I have the right to be treated with respect. I have the right to express my opinions and values. I have the right to express my feelings. I have the right to say yes or no if I want. I have the right to make mistakes. I love that. I have the right to change my mind. I love that as well. I have the right to say I don't understand. I have the right to ask for what I want. I have the right to deal with others without being dependent on them, and I have the right to decline responsibility for other people's problems. Now, isn't that a very interesting set of ideas? I remember it was very new to me, all this, because I hadn't really thought along those lines. But when you think about it, you think, yeah, of course, yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I have the right to make mistakes. That doesn't mean you don't have to apologise, but you have the right to do that. So that's why we're talking about this, having more of a sense of ourselves, what we want and what we don't want in life, and how to defend ourselves and stand up for ourselves without hurting other people's feelings. So communicating assertively means coming from a balanced point of view in a calm way. Act your body language. Body language is a spontaneous kind of animal thing that we do. For example, we cross our arms across our chest when we feel threatened, right? If you're arguing with somebody, you're telling them what to do, raise your arms up in the air. Getting too close, people come in on top of you, don't like that. So your body language, there are books that have been written about it, but basically, if you act calm and behave in a calm way, you will then feel calm, which is funny because it's kind of you think it'll be the other way around. So it is a bit of a performance. All this assertiveness and these new skills require time. They require a commitment to change. For example, if you were somebody who used to shout a lot and raise their voice, you can wake up one morning and say, I actually don't like shouting at people. I don't want to do that anymore. And you can change it. You can become somebody who doesn't shout at all, ever. That's up to you. So if you want to become calmer, again, you will be a lot calmer if you're not shouting all the time.
Well, actually, that's true, Molly, isn't it? Because you said there about a choice. If you want to change something, if you decide that you don't want to be a person that shouts, everything in life is a choice, isn't it, at the end of the day? You know, if you don't like what your way your life is, if you don't like where you are, change it.
Exactly.
Just one thing when we spoke about body language. Body language is... It takes in a lot of different things, doesn't it? Like facial expressions, body movements, your posture, your gestures.
That's
with your
exactly
hands,
right.
Your eye contact,
exactly.
Touch, you know, handshakes,
yeah.
Hugs,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Takes in a lot of...
It does, yes, that's exactly what... So it is an act, okay. So you act confidently, you stand up straight, you look people in the eye. Now, if you're not comfortable at looking people in the eye, I heard a great trick at one point doing all this stuff was look at the person's third, where the third eye is, in between your eyebrows. Now, you will think that person is, that you are actually looking at them face to face, but you're not looking them directly into their eye. It's also, if you're looking somebody directly in their eyes, it's harder to disengage. So if you want to stop saying something, say you want to say no, which we're going on to in a minute, say no, looking at them in between their eyebrows, and then turn your head away. If you're actually looking into their eyes, you will find it much harder to move your gaze away, because that's how we engage. And that is very powerful. So that's a good tip.
Yes, because the thing with the eye contact is, you know, one of the things I know that myself in body language, they would say, you know, if somebody is lying to you, they won't look at you, or they might look away. But sometimes that can be hard to detect, because if a person is very shy, they can't look at you either, you know, and they'll tend to look away. So that doesn't mean they're lying. It just means, it could mean that they're just very, very shy.
Yes, it is quite subtle. Mm. These are things that you would, if you were helping somebody to prepare for an interview, this is very important. This is what they tell you. So you keep your hands on your lap. I look at people, answer questions, and keep your shoulders down. And put your knees together and sit quietly like that, and then you appear very dignified and quiet and come across very well usually. And also with body language, if you're meeting people, communicating with people, you want to talk to someone or talk about anything really, a smile is actually great. A proper smile, just high, like just a small smile.
Kind of breaks down the barrier, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. It's a kind of warm greeting to somebody, and it makes people feel comfortable. If somebody, you say hello to someone, they say hello to you with a big beaming smile, so you're delighted with yourself. You're like, oh, brilliant, I like this person already.
And you know what, there is a little poem about that. I can't remember it now off the top of my head, but you know, like that, if you walk down the street and smile at people, they're more often than not they're going to smile back at you. But if you walk down the street with a scowl on your face, people are probably going to avoid you, let's face it.
Yeah.
Now Molly, we're going to go on now. We're after dragging in poor old Marie O'Connor from outside in the office, and Marie has no idea what's going to happen, but we want to do a little bit of role play here. Marie always gets caught for things. But we just wanted to put some of this into action of how you can say no.
Exactly.
Well, if you have a problem saying no, so you're going to ask Marie questions that she's probably not going to be happy with, or things that she's not going to want to do. And first of all, we just want to see how Marie reacts to it. Is she able to say no? Is she not? And if she... we'll just see how it goes.
And then I'll give you the techniques. There are certain things you can do, yes, which make it a lot easier.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, so I'm going to hand it over now to Molly and Marie. So Molly, you ask away your questions there to Marie.
Okay, so one of the role plays I have here is, which resonated with Marie earlier on, was an older, you're exhausted, you want a nice quiet weekend at home, in peace and quiet, and just catching up with yourself and chilling. And then your granny rings up and she says, I'm really tired, I'm on my own, I haven't seen anyone. Can I come down on Friday? Can I come for the weekend? I'd love to see you, I haven't seen you for ages. How do you say no to that? So I'm your granny and I'd say, hello darling, I'll be down to see you now on Friday and I'll stay till Tuesday. Is that okay?
That's fine, granny. No bother at all. I'll just sit here in the chair and I'll cry for an hour, but you can come down.
Oh, dearie me. Okay.
Oh, Molly, I failed already.
Listen, that's... I know, but you think you don't want to hurt her feelings.
No.
You feel guilty. You know, it's like you feel responsible for her, you know, that she's maybe not well and she's lonely and everything. What about you? Where do you come in? So the thing is here that... that's brilliant. So let's reverse that now. You be granny and I'll be me. Okay.
Hi Molly. I'm just so fed up here. I'd love to come down for a couple of days. Can I call down Friday and I'll be with you till Tuesday and we'll catch up. You probably have nothing on, have you?
Hello granny. Well actually, to be honest, I need a bit of time to think about this because I have other commitments and I'm very tired at the moment myself and don't feel great. So can I ring you back on that? Well, let's plan it. Come for another visit maybe. But this weekend, no, I can't do it.
I'm granny and I'm feeling guilty now for even asking.
Brilliant.
That really worked, Molly.
No, yeah, so the anyway, thank you, Marie. That's an example of being assertive with granny. And I mean, it's not easy, but the main thing is the guilt, dealing with the guilt of saying no. So this means that you believe that other people are too weak to cope with your refusal, or other people's needs and priorities come first, which is where you were coming from. It's like, oh, poor old granny, of course she can come. I'll just wipe the floor with myself and die. And then, but just remember, other people may or may not be able to be hurt. But you have a right to say no. You don't mean to hurt them, you know. Either way, most people are strong enough to cope with and accept no. And you're important too. You know, Granny, of course she's important, but you're not responsible for her. And you also have to mind yourself. How can you mind your granny if you're feeling exhausted? And you'd say, okay, talk to you later, Granny. Vanish. Go. That's the next thing with saying no. Leave the room, leave the building as soon as you've said it and give them time to think about it, because you're not supposed to, with assertiveness here, don't apologise, don't explain. I mean, I did that. I said I was tired, but, you know, that's okay. But generally, you shouldn't have to say anything else except no, apart from after saying it three times, saying, what part of no don't you understand? And flounce out of the room.
Just a quick question there. Now, how did you feel about that, Bree? We'd say, did you, when Molly asked you that question, pretend, and you were trying to say no, did you feel awkward?
I felt under pressure straight away, but once Molly explained how to do it, then I could understand how you could get around to doing it.
Yeah, because it's like everything, isn't it? And we've said this before. Like, saying no to somebody else means you're saying yes to yourself. Exactly. And it's not that you're being rude to anybody. And if you say it in a polite way, you know. Do you want to try one more, just quick little role play there now? Ask Marie a different question and we'll just see how would Marie answer it this time if she doesn't want to
do it. So that's a beautiful book. I always wanted to read that. I was going to buy it. Can I borrow it? I'd love to read it. I'm reading about that at the moment. I'd love to loan to that book. Please.
Oh, God, Molly. Well, I probably would give you the book and be worried that I wouldn't get it back. But maybe if I was practicing what you were saying, could I make an excuse and say, I'm not finished the book yet? Or would I just say, no, look, I don't give out my books at all. I just love my books and I like them around me. I hope you don't mind.
But did you feel comfortable with that number?
Not a bit.
Didn't you?
Absolutely not a bit. I think this would take a lot of practice.
It does. Mm. But you feel so good. I remember the first time I was assertive, I went jumping around the kitchen and cheering. I couldn't believe I did it. But to go back to your thing there, that was very good. She nearly got there. Because the first thing you did was you had a passive response, because you just gave in straight away. This time you were getting better. And then, of course, there's the aggressive mode, but we'll not talk about that at the moment. But, you know, it does take practice, but you have to think about it beforehand and then think about maybe how you would have done it. And, you know, you have a right to say no. Yeah, there's two people there. You have this 50% right to have your own views and your own opinions and your own. You need a weekend or you're going to have a nervous breakdown. Do you know what I mean? Poor granny, God love her, whatever. You need your rest. You're exhausted. She can't take her. But you can't say that. You can just say, look, I'd love to see you, but at the moment it's not. And just no. And when you said no there, you said it very quietly. I'm going to ask you again now. Oh, that book. I love that book. I really want that book. I've been dying to read it. I think it's beautiful. I'm going to buy it. I actually ordered it. I was wondering, can I have a loan of that there for the weekend?
I'm still uncomfortable. I have to be honest. I'm still uncomfortable and I'm probably still nearly going to give you the book. But if I was practicing what you're telling me, I'm going to say, do you know, if you don't mind, I don't ever give away my books because I love them. And if you don't mind, I'm going to hang on to this one.
Very good, Marie.
Very good. But you didn't say no.
No. It's hard.
It's a hard word to say.
It's actually really, really hard. It's a complete change of attitude, you have to learn this, but it's the best thing you ever did, isn't it? It changed my life. It changed your life. It allowed me to take control. I became active in my life instead of passive. And I made decisions and I felt so strong and I felt so good. And I have the right. You have the right to make mistakes. You have the right. Isn't that brilliant? I think that was very good now what you said. But two things were that you made. And you said, I like to keep my books around me. Now, ideally, you just say no. Let's try again. Oh, I love that book. Will you? Can I have a look at that? Oh, that's beautiful. I've been dying to get that book. It's out of print. Can I have a loan of it, please? I really love that.
No, sorry, Molly. You'll have to wait. You'll get your own one.
Ha 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 ha!
You know, when a toddler says, no, that's mine.
Yes, good girl yourself.
Okay, well, I know we're having a bit of fun here now with it, right? And we are having a bit of fun doing it. But, like, if you did say that, like, you just ask me, Molly. Ask me the same question.
Okay. Angela, hi. Oh, that's the book I've been dying to read. That I've been waiting to get that. I'm reading about this subject at the moment, and I really love to have a look. Can I borrow that for the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, Molly, I'll have to say no, and I'd love to give it to you, but you know what? I stopped years ago giving out my books. They're a kind of a treasured possession for me, and I don't like giving them out. But, you know, maybe if you try the library. I'm sure they might have it. And, you know, the library are actually great. Sometimes even if they don't have the book you're looking for, they'll get it in for you.
That's
right. You know, so maybe if you go down and try there.
I'll probably do that. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll take the details. I'll take the name of the publisher, the ISBN number on it, and I can order it then, can't I? Sure, I could order it online probably.
Yeah, so all I was trying to do there is to you know, sometimes if you're saying no to someone, but you can give another option. So it's like, you know, and if you're saying no to somebody in a polite way, well, then, really, they don't tend to take offence by it.
Exactly. You're not going to hurt their feelings.
No, because that's not what you're trying to do. You're not trying to hurt anybody.
No,
by
you're not
no.
being aggressive. No, but what I loved there was Marie, her the development of her argument, her response over those three times I asked her the questions. You're getting there, but it does take a while. But then after a kind of probationary period as an assertive person, you then become one, and then it becomes second nature. Don't even think about it. Is that right, Angela?
Exactly.
So,
yeah. Right, so I suppose, Molly, that's some good advice that you gave us there again today. And, you know, the little bit of role play was just to show people how to maybe that they can say no, just to give an example of how you can say no in a polite way without hurting somebody's feelings. So I think we leave it there, and we will be back again next week with another little short programme. So it's bye for me.
Bye bye now.
Bye bye.